This is the TTY Dialer, episode 23, for the week of April 3rd through April 8th. Hi there. Welcome to another weekly companion to WRVO's old-time radio show tuned to yesterday. I'm Mark Levonier. I do have a cold this week, so bear with me, but we have a lot of fun sound to get through. That's what this podcast does. It brings you fun with sound from radio's past, radio history, and a look at the shows coming up for the week on Tune to Yesterday, which is heard on the air every night from 10 to midnight and online streaming live at WRVO.org. And I'm not sure if you've heard this news, but there is a great documentary that just came out this week called Five Came Back, about five Hollywood directors who traveled overseas during World War II to basically film the war. They were directors Frank Capra, John Huston, William Wyler, John Ford, and George Stevens. And for me, a director came to mind that had a lot to do with the war effort on the home front, and that was the director, producer, writer, and actor Orson Welles.
Hello, fascists. Are you still listening? You learning what goes into our American planes? There's a very busy young lady over here. You might like to hear from her. Seems to be somebody. Can we get through here, please?
Yeah, sure.
Pardon, watch the mic cable. That's it. We'll get in here as close as we can.
This one goes over to engine assembly.
Have you a minute, please?
Hold it, buddy. Just a second, please. Joe, rush these half-inch couplings to engine assembly. Hurry it up.
This is a broadcast.
Buddy, I'm awfully busy. This one of 1170s goes to maintenance. They came in 20 minutes ago.
Okay, I'll rush it.
All right, what's on your mind? No, no, those panels have to go to sandblasting.
I wish you'd tell us what you put into your planes.
I'm an expediter, mister. I put the right parts in the right places at the right time. Hey, look, if Meyer doesn't get those gaskets, he'll have kittens, and Vago have no exhaust manifold.
Oh, sure. Don't mind me.
I don't. These go to 207. Step on it. Shoot these over the lab for stress.
That was a moment with Orson Welles from the Ceiling Unlimited program, which featured dramatic but true stories about the Second World War and the war effort, particularly the work being done by the show's sponsor, Lockheed Vega, and its airplane plant. Orson Welles presented some brilliant drama on the show, and it wasn't exactly an extended commercial for Lockheed Vega, who only had a few mentions in the program, mainly due to the fact that its main customer was the Allied forces and not the general public. Even so, it was the commercial influence that ultimately had its star, Orson Welles, leave the program about halfway through his contracted run. Apparently, a person representing the ad agency that worked with Lockheed Vega and the program asked Orson's publicist how he should be handled, being the big personality that he was. And Welles caught wind of this, and he approached the advertising man in the studio and reportedly said, "I understand you've been trying to find out how to run me. Just please go away and take all your little boys with you. Lockheed and I will work this out together." Now, the press largely reported it as an amicable split, even though it was pointed out that there were differences in the dramatic and commercial content of the shows. But in his last broadcast of the series, Orson gave quite a heartfelt nod to Lockheed on behalf of himself and his acting troupe, the Mercury Theater.
"We very much wish it were possible for us to go on writing and producing these radio plays. We've never been happier. We've never been as proud of an association in any medium, any time in our life as a theater company. The Mercury is proud to have been part of a great industry. We're proud of the men and women of Lockheed and Vega."
Not all old-time radio shows are created equal in terms of sound fidelity, for sure. We do have some decent-sounding shows coming up this Monday on Tune to Yesterday, April 3rd at 10 o'clock. It's Mystery from ABC's Mystery Theater, then ABC's Mystery Time from 1957. After that, an hour of westerns, we'll hear Fort Laramie and the Frontier Gentleman. This Tuesday night, April 4th, comedy from the Henry Morgan Show and Avalon Time with Red Skelton. Then True History for an hour. On Tuesday, it's New World a Comin' and You Are There from 1948.
A towering figure of a horse at the Wall of Troy. Homer's Troy. History's Troy. The Troy of mingled fact and fancy. The epic moment when a proud but decadent civilization faced its destiny on the shores of the Aegean Sea. All things are as they were then, except for one thing. You are there.
Here are these programs Monday, April 3rd and Tuesday, April 4th from 10 to midnight. On Tune to Yesterday. For years on radio during the Second World War, listeners heard about Americans in battle overseas, and shortly after the war ended, stories of true crime dealing with law enforcement's battle on the home front really exploded in popularity. Two shows in particular soared in the genre, The FBI and Peace and War on CBS, and a show that made its debut this Thursday, April 6th, 1945, This Is Your FBI. By its second year on the air, around 12 million people were listening Friday nights at 8:30 on ABC and heard stories about treason, racketeering, foreign agents, robberies, and more. The writer of the show, Jerry Devine, came into the series well-seasoned. His first script contracts were actually for the Shadow series from 1939 through 1941. And with this new venture, he was able to infiltrate the FBI in his own way by being part of their training activities to get a real sense of how the Bureau operated. After the show got rolling, Devine was given permission from FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover to scour closed case files to find material for the show. And Devine would regularly conference with Hoover to make sure the stories weren't too sensitive in nature, which made sense for many reasons. The FBI didn't want any loose ends or names slipping out into radio episodes, and Hoover himself was really concerned about the image of the Bureau. At one point, he even demanded that the Green Hornet radio show change its introduction after it suggested that there were criminals that the FBI or G-Men couldn't handle.
He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies that even the G-Men cannot reach, the Green Hornet.
So that show changed the intro to this.
He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America.
So with the close control that Hoover had over This Is Your FBI, it did make him happy that he had a radio show on his side, which he would later endorse as the finest dramatic radio program on the air. Let's hear some sound from one of those episodes now from 1946.
That same evening, in fact, at just about the time John and Emma Fulton and their guests were sitting down to dinner, there was a conference being held in the New York offices of the FBI. Special Agents Beckley and Preston were going over what facts they had on the robbery of a bank in Peekskill, New York, that afternoon.
Well, Bob, we've got enough to get us started.
How many were there?
As far as we can find out, only two.
They entered the bank just as it was closing.
That's right.
Get any description?
Mm-hmm. If the bank teller and the guard are right, we've got a pretty good description.
Good.
I've already flashed the alarm to Connecticut, Jersey, Pennsylvania, and upstate New York.
Well, they couldn't have gone any further than that since this afternoon.
I don't think so. Also been watching LaGuardia Airport, Grand Central, Penn Station, the bus terminals.
The only way they can keep moving is by car, then.
Uh-huh. I have to steal a new one. Sent out the description of the car they used and even had the license plate numbers.
Something on the teletype. Description, your office, 4:25 p.m., covers Leonard Parker and Robert Keene. Complete records follow. Beckley speaking. Yes, Sergeant. One of them, huh? Okay, we'll be right up. The police found the car.
Where?
Up on the parkway, near Peekskill. One of them was in it. Dead.
Wow.
Come on, grab your hat. We can talk in the car.
Yes, dear.
I've got to talk to you about something.
What's wrong?
John, in all the time we've been married, I've never tried to pick your friends.
Oh, I know that.
And I've never tried to tell you who you could or couldn't invite here as a guest.
Parker?
Yes. Since you invited him last night, dear, he's taken over the household. He even went into your closet today and took out one of your suits. He's got ashes all over the library rug, and when I mentioned it to him, he simply said, skip it, Emmy.
Well, I'll speak to him, dear.
John, I'm afraid I'll have to ask you to do more than that.
What's that?
I'm afraid you'll have to ask him to leave.
If you feel that way, dear, I will. I'll go in and tell him right now.
Oh, John, come on in.
Leonard, I want to talk to you.
That's fair enough. Would you like me to pick a subject, or did you come prepared?
Leonard, this is very serious. You'll have to leave.
I thought you said this was going to be serious.
You can't stay here any longer.
John, that's no way to run a hideout. You'll never get any business that way. You got to be courteous to your guests.
I'm not joking.
Look, you want me to tell your wife about you?
No.
Then let's not discuss it anymore.
How long are you going to be here?
Maybe 3-4 weeks.
I may have to go out of town before that, on business.
Go ahead. Emma and I can stay here alone. Oh, by the way, that reminds me. I wish you'd do something for me.
What?
Speak to your wife and tell her to be a little more polite to me. The way she acts, you'd think she didn't want me around here.
She doesn't.
I know that. And she's got no choice. I'm your guest.
Leonard, I've got a proposition to make.
What is it?
I've got trucks that go from here to California with shipments of everything from fruit to pianos.
Yeah?
I'd be willing to ship you out there.
No doubt.
But you'd be perfectly safe.
John, I'm going to stay right here. Now, mix me a scotch and soda, will you? And nobody can say I'm not democratic. Take one for yourself.
This Wednesday night at 10 o'clock on Tune to Yesterday, two new shows in our sci-fi category, The Story Jaywalker on X-1 and Suspense with Formula for Death. After that, an hour of crime from 21st Precinct and another broadcast of Suspense. Then this Thursday night at 10, it's drama from the Mercury Theater Players performing on the Campbell Playhouse.
The people are celebrating, Your Excellency.
Celebrating? Celebrating what?
Their happiness, Excellency.
What are they happy about? Well?
Tarangi, Your Excellency.
What did you say, Mahavi?
He's coming home, Delage. Tarangi's coming home.
How dare you? How dare you stand there and defy me and you, Mahavi? Where did you hear this? Who brought the news?
I can tell you that, Delage.
Where, Captain Nagel?
The drums have brought the news. 600 miles from Tahiti. The birds have brought it. You hear the wind blowing? Well, it came on the wind.
Nagel, you're drunk.
Well, maybe I am, Your Excellency, but what have you got to say to all this? How about it? Has your colonial government any law against dancing and singing when the heart is happy?
After that, it's an hour of horror from the sealed book.
Have they?
Nope, no law. No law against it. After that episode of the sealed book, it's escape with probably their most famous broadcast from their series called Three Skeleton Key with Vincent Price from 1950. Here are the shows on Tuned to Yesterday, Wednesday, April 5th, and Thursday, April 6th from 10 to midnight. Thanks to a talent search, NBC Radio decided to take a chance and made comedians Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis famous with the Martin and Lewis radio program, which made its debut this Monday, April 3rd in 1949. Before they made their film debut that October, Martin and Lewis were regarded as a success on the comedy stage, with Martin's crooning and Lewis's antics, and of course, shrill voice. In the fall of 1948, an NBC exec caught their act at a nightclub and offered them a contract for their own radio show. Because the two were pretty much unknown to the public at large, NBC decided to pour a big amount of money into the new show, about $10,000 a week, which is around $100,000 in today's money. And with that amount and the brand new voices on national radio, it wasn't too surprising that the program went down the variety show route with music from Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis's slapstick routines. The director, Robert L. Redd, had designed a fast-paced show that kept the studio audience laughing and at times swooning at Dean Martin, but critics at that time felt the show was a little flat. So NBC dumped even more money into it, and did so until the show closed in 1953. But not without helping launch the careers of two comedians who became legends in their own right, even after they dissolved their partnership 10 years to the day in 1956. And by the way, that film debut came in the form of a radio adaptation on the silver screen of the very popular sitcom at the time, My Friend Irma. Martin and Lewis had opened the picture with one of their routines. So right now, some sound from the Martin and Lewis radio show from the month the film made its debut, on October of 1949.
Starring Dean Martin. Night and day, you are the one. And Jerry Lewis.
Under the sun.
Beneath the moon and under the sun? What's the matter? Ain't you got a house?
Well, now we find Dean and Jerry in the new nightclub they're planning to open.
They seem to have everything they need now except performers, money, and customers.
Jerry, I'm awful worried about our club.
Maybe the club needs some good-looking women. That's what it needs.
Jerry, you're always thinking about women. You know what Kipling said? Women are just a rag, a bone, and a hank of hair.
Yeah, but they're put together so nicely. Dean, you know what I think we ought to have on our floor show is girls.
Yeah, girls are fun. I know, I read a lot.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, Dean. I've already taken care of the feminine department for our nightclub.
You mean you've hired a fan dancer?
No, an opera singer. Miss Dorothy Kirsten. And she'll be here any minute.
Dorothy Kirsten? But Jerry, she doesn't sing in nightclubs. Does she know that this is a nightclub?
Well, no. I thought it was sort of an indoor Hollywood bowl.
Ah, but Jerry is...
Hey, Dean, look who just came in.
Hello, boys. How's the nightclub coming?
Well, it's our cigarette girl, Tondaleo Hockenhaven.
Well, hello, Tondaleo. How are the cigarettes going?
Deanie, I don't want to be a cigarette girl. I just want to be near you.
You do?
Yeah. I can't stifle my emotion any longer. Oh, Deanie, will you bite the lobe of my ear just once?
What's that? I don't understand.
He doesn't understand. I gotta have a long talk with this boy.
I think I'll go now. I have an appointment.
Oh, don't go, Deanie. I came all the way over here to see you. Aren't you glad to see little Tondaleo? Well, aren't you? Well, Deanie boy, say something.
Hello, baby.
Oh, Deanie.
I'm leaving.
Oh, Jerry, please don't.
Oh, Deanie, why can't we be alone? Why must your little boy always tag along? Oh, Deanie, hold me tight. Let me look in your big brown eyes. Or are they blue? Or are they gray?
They're chartreuse. Now, please, Tondaleo, we've got to get things organized a bit. You see, Miss Dorothy Kirsten is coming to sing in our club, and I don't...
Dorothy Kirsten? But why? Why spend all that money when you got me?
You mean you sing?
Do I sing? A little arpeggio, please. I'm forever blowing bubbles. Pretty bubbles.
Tondaleo, darling, we have a message for you.
Yes, Tondaleo, darling. Why don't you go to Arthur Murray?
But Arthur Murray's a dancing teacher. He just tell me where to put my feet.
I know that. Maybe he'll tell you to put one of your feet in your mouth. Goodbye. Gee, Dean, I think we ought to look for a new cigarette girl. Tondaleo is beginning to fall for you.
Oh, never mind. I'm worried about Dorothy Kirsten coming here. I'm telling you, Jerry, when she sees this joint, she'll quit. Besides, she isn't the kind of an act you want in a nightclub. She's too classy. We want something, well, a little more...
Speak no finer, friends. Your troubles are over. It's me, your old friend, Silky. I am now a theatrical agent, D. Lukes. I can get you any kind of act that you want. In fact, I've been lining all day up talent.
I've been lining all day up talent.
This Friday night at 10 on Tune to Yesterday, sitcoms for an hour, we'll hear the Phil Harris-Alice Faye Show. Then a broadcast of My Friend Irma, which I mentioned earlier, from 1953. Then it's Adventure for an Hour with The Navy Comes Through on the Lux Radio Theater. This Saturday night at 10, it's Westerns. We'll hear Dr. Six Gun and Have Gun Will Travel.
If I ever see you back here again, I'll put you in jail for a year for trespassing. This town's out of limits to you because you've been associated with a murderer.
Well, now ain't you tall. That shotgun sure makes you something I never heard of before.
Get out of here.
I'm going. But I'll see you again, mister.
What kind of rules are you laying down in this town, Deaver? Rules that respectful citizens expect from their sheriff. Well, don't you know if you disarm everyone who comes to Three Winds, you're waving a red flag in front of every gunfighter who thinks he's bigger than the law? As long as I'm sheriff, there's no one bigger than the law in Three Winds.
At 11 o'clock this Saturday, it's quiz programs. We'll hear Double or Nothing and Break the Bank. Hear these programs this Friday and Saturday, April 7th and 8th, from 10 to midnight on the air on Tune to Yesterday or streaming live at our website, WRVO.org. And that's going to do it for this week's TTY Dialer. By the way, the new schedule is out, although you've heard the first week or so of it. It is published a month in advance at our website, WRVO.org. So take advantage of that. Pick out your favorite shows to hear this week. And this cold is really getting the best of me, so I'm going to cut out for now. But I'll be back next week, hopefully a little bit clearer voiced. And if you've gotten this far in the podcast, which is at the end, I do appreciate it. By the way, if you have any comments for me or questions about Old Time Radio, Tune to Yesterday, the Dialer podcast, just email me, mark@wrvo.org. That's mark@wrvo.org. Until next week, then, thanks a lot for listening.